my Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of Punt Intended, the Fantasy NBA Dynasty podcast hosted by Sports Ethos. I am your host, Rhett Bauer, coming to you today with some early season reactions. Hopefully not overreactions. Going to be talking about some players who have struggled that should pick it up, some players who are killing it that probably won't continue to do that, and then maybe some guys who are doing exactly what they might do for the rest of the year after some changes over the summer. But before we do that, I want to do a little commissioner's corner type of thing. I don't talk much about Dynasty leagues from the commissioner's perspective, despite being commissioner in too many leagues, to be honest with you. But something happened after all this Kyrie stuff in one of the leagues that I'm not commissioner in that I just wanted to talk about because, frankly, it was ridiculous what was happening. And I think it's worth bringing a bigger point to the table. Now, this is not meant to be calling out the current commissioner of the league. He's a great dude, a guy that I have gone back and forth with quite a bit. So I'm not calling him out for not doing his job as commissioner, because I think he's doing a course of action that makes sense. It's just hard to be in that seat. And I know because I've been in it. So basically, after everything with Kyrie, which if you don't know about it, I don't really want to get into it on this podcast because it's not, it would be an entire podcast. But basically, Kyrie was just agreeing with promoting a bunch of terrible, terrible things. And in his argument on video with Nick Friedell, he was basically saying that I have this huge platform, but don't keep me accountable for having this huge platform, which is just perfect Kyrie. And one of our league mates was saying that he stands with Kyrie and Kanye West and that you can't cancel greatness. And I don't care enough about it to change my opinions and it doesn't impact me. And there's been a lot worse said and done. So why should this be that big of a deal? And it went on and on and on and back and forth and back and forth. And even more egregious than that, like you can have your own opinions, of course. Like I try to keep fantasy basketball group chats to fantasy basketball, which is crazy. I know, but you can have your own opinions on stuff, like that's fine. But this guy has been trolling for weeks. Seems like his entire duration of the league is just constantly trolling. I personally don't like him. He knows that. I think everybody knows that who's in the league. It's not hard to tell, but it's also not hard to see why. I'm a pretty sarcastic person. I like jokes. I like to try to be funny, even if it fails. And there's a lot of people who do that in different ways, but this is not one of those situations. Like there's things to joke about, anti-Semitism, and then a bunch of other topics that we brought up because we're just like, let's just see how far this can go. And we were just like, all right, so you're a Deshaun Watson fan. He's like, well, I mean, he's a really good quarterback. Like, okay, so you're a Miles Bridges fan. It's like, well, he was going to get a max for all this stuff. So you can't cancel greatness. Like commissioners, you have the responsibility of keeping your league healthy. And that sometimes comes down to removing people from the league. I know it's not easy. I know in paid leagues, it's difficult to do, but like you can tell when someone is toxic. Like it's very, very easy. And the reason that I bring it up is because I had two people come to me and was like, dude, I'm thinking about leaving this league. And I was said to them, I am also thinking about leaving this league. So if you've got multiple people just willing to give up their buy-ins, willing to give up their contending teams just to not have to hear from this guy anymore. Like, yeah, you can bend and keep the toxic guy in the league because the other people are willingly leaving. But it also there's just a certain level of respect that should come with being in a league that this person just does not have. It's just fairly ridiculous, to be honest with you. But regardless, commissioners, do what's best for your league. It's not popular. I know there's money on the line, but we all do this for fun. And there's ways to handle it. I know with Fantrax, once you start the season and somebody has their buy-in, you can't forcibly remove them from the league. They have to consent to it because they don't get their buy-in back. But there's ways to do it. You can swap owners out while keeping the buy-in the same. You can Venmo them money. You can PayPal them money. I have absolutely no problem in any sort of league. I'm not in any high stakes leagues. I don't have any problem at all giving somebody their money to go away. Like that is a price that I am willing to pay, especially in October. If somebody's already being just a trash person in the group chat constantly, like you've got 7 more months of this stuff, man. Like that's a really long time to deal with somebody like this. And you could talk to them offline. That's absolutely one of the first things you should do. You shouldn't just outright kick somebody because they're acting a certain way without any warnings. But man, it's just hard to, to be a commissioner for leagues. It really is, especially ones that you're very invested in. So I get it, but you just have to, take the overall health of the league into account, because there's nothing that can destroy a league faster than toxicity, to be quite frank. And especially when it's pretty consistently coming from the same person. It seems like we got it figured out. It doesn't look like this person's going to be removed from the league. He's been warned. So we'll see how that goes. But regardless, commissioners, keep your leagues healthy. Keep the chats moderated as much as you can. You're not canceling everybody. You're not silencing people. Like everybody can have different opinions, but just try to keep your leagues as healthy as possible, because the whole point of a dynasty is to do it year after year after year. And if I don't want to be in the same group chat with somebody for a couple weeks, I definitely don't want to be there for a couple of years. And if there's one person that feels that way, it's pretty common for there to be multiple people. So you can get the gauge of the league if you want. You can talk to that person individually when you think it's an issue. But yeah, just keep your league in mind. And if you have to make a hard choice after a reasonable amount of time and interaction, that just kind of comes with the territory, which sucks. But how many people do you have in your league that are going to be better off by not having somebody in that league is the question you have to ask yourself. All right, so moving on to actual fantasy basketball. I put out a sort of mailbag call not that long ago and wanted to touch on it. So somebody asked if we should be worried about Karl-Anthony Towns falling, Bam falling, and then whether we should have any Poku hope. Now, if you guys have been listening to this podcast for any stretch of time, you'll know the answer to the last one is no. I don't think Poku is good. I think he's far more of a project than is worth investing to. He is only a fantasy asset because of the fantasy potential he has. It has nothing to do with his on-court product, except for a couple stretches at the end of every OKC tanking season where he is getting to do things that no NBA team will ever let him do because he's not good enough to do it. So there's no Poku hope in my eyes. But if you want to hold on because you valued him at a top 100 a couple of years ago, and now you're just hoping that he can reinvigorate some of that, then that's perfectly fine. So Cat and Bam. I did not like the Rudy Gobert trade. I don't think anybody who had Karl-Anthony Towns liked the Rudy Gobert trade, because now Cat is playing at the four. And as a longtime Pacers fan and longtime Turbonus horror show watcher, Two bigs does not work well for at least one of them, sometimes both. Cat is falling in the rankings. He's got like 8 rebounds a game, which is obviously way low. 1.1 stocks because he's not a great perimeter defender and he's not around the rim to get more blocks. It's very small sample size. 5.3 assists per game, which is pretty nice. He's actually leading the team in assists to Rudy Gobert, which I find funny. It's also good because that means that they are playing together and there's opportunities for that to work. I think that this might be more of the normal than what we might want to admit. I mean, you know, you can look at it and you can say, okay, Towns, he's at 21 points, 2 threes, 8 boards, 5 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.4 blocks, 47%, 89% with 3.3 turnovers. That's not far off from what he's used to doing, except for the boards and the blocks. But it's going to be really hard to get those when he's playing the four on both ends of the floor, because you want Rudy Gobert near the rim. Like, you're not going to accommodate Cat on the defensive end and put him at the rim when you've got Rudy Gobert. Like, Cat plays solo five. Obviously there's opportunity there. I don't know. I'm not docking Cat too much in the dynasty rankings, cause he still is top 50 right now. And he does produce, but I would not be surprised if Cat was outside the top 25 this year, as far as just for this year's rankings. And it's not looking like the Rudy Gobert trade is going to result in a lot of regular season wins like some people thought as well. So that's, Cat is definitely falling. If you could trade him for a top tier dynasty asset, then feel free to go for it. I don't like Cat much as a player. I just don't think he's a winning player, to be honest, which sounds bad. And I promise you this isn't biased, but Cat falling is very real. Bam Adebayo falling, it's kind of the same story as what it was last year when Kyle Lowry first got there and was playing healthy, because Bam is only at 2.7 assists a game, I believe. 35 minutes a game, 2.7 assists. I don't think that's where he'll be. I think he'll definitely end up over 3, close to that 3.5 like he was last year, but I don't think he's going to get to that 5 mark that we were accustomed to before Kyle Lowry got there. They just don't put the ball in his hands very much, as much as I think they maybe should have. But it's also like, Kyle Lowry's good. He's a point guard. You got to have him distributing the ball. But on top of that, Bam's boards have been down recently. And I don't think that that's very, very sustainable. Like eight rebounds a game in 35 minutes. Like, I'm pretty sure Bam's going to average a double-double, so I'm not really worried about that. I would be buying Bam right now if I could. This is just another early season stretch where he's just not getting the assists that we're used to seeing, and his turnovers are up too. He's actually averaging 3.6 turnovers a game, which is certainly contributing to him falling outside the top 75. Next question is Cade Cunningham. Are we worried about him? Do we think he can be a lead offense initiator, because he's struggling with points and assists more than I thought? I'm not worried about Cade as much. The Pistons just added Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren, and that's two really, really big pieces. And Bojan Bogdanovic. Like, that's a lot of players to fit in who deserve to be playing a lot of minutes. Jaden Ivey looks good. Jalen Duren looks good. Bojan has been crucial for them as far as providing spacing, but he provides that spacing by taking a lot of shots. I'm not worried about Cade. I did bump him down a little bit in the dynasty rankings, but mostly just because I had to bump my boy Halliburton up, and I will stand by that. But no, I'm not worried about Cade. If you find somebody who is, I would absolutely be buying and not really thinking twice about it, because, you know, we saw him struggle last year too, right? Like, he was bad, and then, hey, all of a sudden he's not bad anymore. Crazy how that works after such small sample sizes and dealing with injuries. Moving on, Patrick Williams, is he just bad? No, I don't believe Patrick Williams is just bad. He's struggling this year. He's playing 21 minutes a game in 7 games, which is obviously not good. He is shooting 43, 35, 89 are his shooting splits right now. He's shooting 35% from 3 on 2.4 attempts a game, which is his worst of his career on the highest volume of his career. He's shooting 48% from two, despite shooting about 52% the last couple of years. And then, you know, that's just going to, all of that combined just kills his field goal percentage down to 43%. And that's just, I don't think that that's realistic. Like, as big and as athletic as he is, 48% from two just doesn't, that just doesn't seem right to me. We've seen 2 years of almost 90 games of him shooting over 50%, over 52% from two. So I think we should consider that an outlier. Last year, him shooting 52% from three in 17 games, obviously that wasn't going to be real. But in 71 games his rookie year, he shot 39% on two attempts a game. So we've seen Pat Will be able to shoot. I'm not worried about that. He's actually averaging 1.1 steals in 21 minutes a game, which is a bit eyebrow raising. And then he's averaging 0.4 blocks in 21 minutes a game, which both of those are in line with what he's been doing in 27 and 25 minutes a game. So if he can keep that production up and get more minutes, there's the same fantasy player that we've all been investing in is here still. Like, I'm not panicking on Pat Will. I have him in the Dynasty 30, the industry league that just drafted not that long ago, right before the season started. I would move him because I think my team can be better, but I'm also not super patient when it comes to that. I've got Booker and Drew on my team, so I don't really know if I can afford to be, but I will absolutely not sell him for pieces. Like, I'm not selling him for a Denny Abdia. I'm not selling him for a Colin Sexton or anything like that. Like, if I was going to move him, I would move him for Jaden McDaniels. I would move him for maybe Atari Eason, Isaiah Jackson, of course, guys like that. Like, you know, guys who are still young, but have some upside as fantasy players and also as good players in the league, because we know how much that matters. Next question is Devin Vassell. Is this for real? And you guys know that my answer is going to be yes. And I don't say that as just because I want to be right about Devin Vassell. I say that because that's what the numbers are saying. So Vassell this year is averaging about 19 points a game. And he's doing that on 41% from the field, 75% from the line. He's flirting with top 50 value right now with atrocious efficiency. Now, we know efficiency does not necessarily stay the same when the volume goes up, but there's no way that he's not going to improve just a little bit, right? Like 41% from the field. He was at 43% last year, so that's not too far off. He's at 39% from three, which is a good deal, especially because he's taking three more threes than he did last year when he was making 36%. 2-point percentage, he's taking eight shots from two and hitting 42% of them. That number's going to go up. It's going to go up. He's not a 42% shooter from the field. So maybe his field goal percentage will even out as his 3-point percentage dips with the high volume, but his 2-point percentage goes up. But there's two areas where I'm so confident in Vassell being real or actually improving on this top 50 ranking. He's taking four free throws a game right now and is averaging 75% from the line. The last 2 years, he's been at 84% from the line. That bump would be massive for him. And then not only that, but we know the thing with him is he's been a 1-1-1 candidate, right? He's like a guy who you're excited about because he blocks some shots. Last year in 27 minutes a game, he was getting 0.6 blocks a game, which is good. And the eye test checks that out because he's a great shot contester on the perimeter. He's a fantastic shot blocker from rear contests, and he's just a good defender altogether. He has zero blocks so far on the year. Zero. If you go from zero blocks to 0.5 blocks, that's a massive, massive jump. That's so, like, zero blocks right now is good for like a -1 block value. A half a block is about 0.8. So you're getting a full 1 point value on his nine cap value just from him getting to an average amount of blocks. That does not consider his field goal percentage maybe going up, does not consider his free throw percentage going up, both of which would increase his points and his threes. I am buying Devin Vassell everywhere that I can. And I think that it is, while this role and this amount of shots probably isn't real for like the super long term, I think he's a bit overtasked right now, but he's on a bad Spurs team, so it's fine. I think that he can very easily be a sort of 16 points a game, 2.5 threes, 5 boards, 3.5 assists, 1 steal, 1+ steal, 1 block with okay efficiency. Like, that is an elite, elite fantasy player. And this guy is just getting started, even though he is out with an ankle injury. He just turned 22. Come on. Let's buy into Devin Vassell a little bit. Another question moving on. I got, what is Desmond Bane's ceiling? And that's a really good question, because Bane is a guy who absolutely exploded last year and is a guy who has a stat profile that I just typically don't like, because he relies so heavily on volume scoring at an elite efficiency type clip, right? Like last year, 46% from the field, 44% from three, and 90% from the line. That was what we were getting from Desmond Bane, which is absolutely fantastic, of course. But like, if his shot doesn't go in, what else is he doing? And he did have 1.2 steals last year, which is obviously excellent. 2.7 assists, which is solid. And then you got 4.4 boards, whatever. That's not overwhelming, but it's also not terrible. So like, he's good, but I don't think we're going to see 5 assists a game from him. He's playing 33 minutes a game, and a couple of these games have been without Ja Morant. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those numbers come down when Ja is healthy. I do think he can be around the 3.5, 4 maybe assist mark, which is going to be above average. Like, that's a good player. And I think he'll level out at about 1.0, 1.1 steals. His ceiling as just a fantasy player is probably top 30, which is wild. But that's just what happens when you can make 3.5 threes at a 46% field goal and then almost 90% of your free throws. Would I be considering Bane a top 30 dynasty asset? No, I don't think that that's what he is. Is he top 40? Still probably no. I just don't think he has enough of a, maybe I'm discounting it. Maybe I need to reevaluate my thoughts on what Desmond Bane can be, but it feels like what he's doing right now is unsustainable, but I look forward to being proved wrong, because Bane has been pretty fantastic and I've been wrong about him for quite a while, it seems like. Thoughts on Walker Kessler versus Jalen Duren. Kessler seems like the bigger difference maker in blocks, but does Duren have more opportunity overall? This is phrased as a redraft question, but I'm going to spin it as a dynasty question. It's Jalen Duren, and it is not close. And I don't want to exaggerate it being not close, because that's just something that gets said a lot, but it's not close for me. I would take Jalen Duren 100 out of 100 times over Walker Kessler. Watching Jalen Duren on the floor, he is an insane, insane athlete, and he's unbelievably young. Walker Kessler, I don't know what he's going to be in the league. I mean, he's going to be limited as from a defensive scheme. So is Rudy Gobert. Yeah, okay. Walker Kessler is not going to be Rudy Gobert. I don't think he has lateral quickness. He's going to be in a drop. I don't think he's going to be a featured big on a team. I think he's going to be more of like a 20 to 25 minute a game guy. And that's just not, with the flaws that he has, he's not taking threes. He's not going to shoot great from the free throw line. He doesn't get assists. Like, you just know what you're getting with a guy like Walker Kessler. And it's big man stats. It's field goal percentage, rebounds, blocks, low turnovers. And that's it. Like, he does have 1.2 assists right now in 16.6 minutes. And so that's okay. And he did some of that at Auburn. If you just watched him, he did pass the ball a little bit. I'm just not sold on Walker Kessler, especially not compared to Duren. So that makes that very, very easy for me. Not to be dismissive of Walker Kessler, it's just, it's Duren without even an ounce of hesitation. Next question before I get into some other guys that I want to talk about. What are your thoughts on some recent popular waiver ads such as Trey Murphy, Nick Richards, Jalen Noel, Trey Mann, and some other guys he put, et cetera, but I'm those are four guys that are going to be enough here. Trey Murphy, you guys know, and I keep bringing it up, I thought he would end last year as the starter for the Pelicans. And I think this year it's very possible that he ends up as the sixth best player for the Pelicans. I've been pretty surprised at the amount of people who would rather have Herb Jones over Trey Murphy. That's literally just because of the steals, because Herb gets unbelievable steals and blocks and is like a decently efficient, low usage player. So of course that's going to look better in a nine cat league, but Murphy is just going to be a better, well-rounded player, especially with Zion on the floor, especially with Zion and J-Val on the floor, if that's how they want to play it. I don't see Trey Murphy not being on the floor for the Pelicans for 25 minutes a game for his career. Like at least that. I think he could easily be a 32 minute per game guy, and he's somebody that I love, and I wish I had him in more leagues. Nick Richards, it's really hard to say. The Hornets are weird. They have Kai Jones, but they're playing Nick Richards. He's been really good, so that's not a slight on them at all. They just drafted Mark Williams. Do I think Nick Richards is a long-term play for the Hornets? No, but ride it while it lasts, I guess. Jalen Noel, his shot's been weird to start the year, I believe. He's a hot name coming into the year because of how much depth the Wolves gave up to get Rudy Gobert. Like, they traded away Vanderbilt, Beasley, Beverly, just like, so Noel was the only guy left. Yeah, he's shooting 27% from three on five attempts a game and shooting 75% from the line as opposed to 94, 82, 78 in the three previous years. I mean, Noel in the last 2 years has averaged like a 37% from three. So I would be buying Jalen Noel if anybody's interested in selling him. He's taking 13 shots a game right now, which is double what he was used to taking. And that's only in 19 minutes a game. So he gets him up there, that's for sure. But he's going to have opportunity. He's 23 years old. I'm in on Jalen Noel. And you could probably get him for cheaper than what he will end up as once that shot levels out. Trey Mann is another interesting one, another guy who relies purely on scoring, but there's also a role for that. He's playing a bit more than what I thought he would, even with SGA's missing some time. Giddy, I think, has been relatively healthy. But I think Mann's kind of just a chucker, which is fine. There's, like I said, there's a role for that. He's actually getting 1.2 steals a game this year, which would be really nice for his overall stat set, because he's at 39% from the field on 13 shots a game. And then it's weirdly shooting 67% from the line. I like Trey Mann. I don't need to get into the nitty gritty of his statistical profile. I think he's going to have a role. It's just going to be a question of how many shots he gets to take on that OKC team when everybody's healthy, which we may not get to see, because that's kind of how it seems like OKC is doing things these days. A couple more guys that I want to talk about that I think are either what they're doing is real as far as like a ranking perspective, just some of their stats are going to level out. Jaden McDaniels, you guys knew you weren't going to get out of this without a Jaden McDaniels conversation. He is getting 3.4 defensive stats a game, which is awesome. And you guys know that I love that. I don't think he's a 1.7 steal a game guy. That's just a lot. You know, that's pretty aggressive on the steals. He's 1.7 blocks as well. I don't think that's like real either, but not in a sense that both of them are like just extremely out of the question. I do think he's a 1-1-1 guy fairly easily. His rebounding numbers are way, way, way down. Like a third, he's getting a third of his rebounds as what he was, like the rebounding percentage that comes with playing next to Cat or Gobert pretty much all the time, if not both. His 3-point percentage, he's shooting 30% from three, despite shooting about 34% the previous 2 years. He's shooting 67% from two, which is pretty awesome. And he's upped his free throw percentage and volume to three attempts a game at 83%. I've been telling you guys, this dude's fantasy game is absolutely fantastic. I don't know how much scoring opportunity he's going to get, but he is out there on the floor for 32 minutes a game, and he's just going to fall into, you know, what would it be like 13 points, four boards, 1.5 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.1 blocks. Like, that's a really, really good fantasy player. I would still be buying Jaden McDaniels, but I don't think I can buy him anywhere else. DeAndre Ayton, he's only playing 26 minutes a game. He's at 0.4 blocks a game. Like, neither of those two are going to stick. And if they do stick, it's because Ayton's going to be traded the second he becomes available in January. Scotty Barnes, he's only at 29 minutes a game. I'm not worried about him. Brandon Ingram, he's hurt right now, but I'm buying Brandon Ingram. He's got 1.3 steals a game, which is definitely floating his fantasy value at the moment, because, you know, we're used to him being at like 0.8. But I mean, if you look at the games that he's played with Zion, CJ, and JVal, the usage is pretty well rounded. Ingram is second in that pecking order. But the numbers that he's putting up, the efficiency is going to go down. He's not shooting 58% from the floor, but he's getting to the line at an absurd rate that I don't think is unsustainable. And that is going to open up his game a ton, even if the field goal attempts are not going to be there. So I'm buying Brandon Ingram. Ben Simmons, I don't know, man. I have Simmons in way too many places to not believe. So I'm kind of just talking myself into it. But it could get ugly here soon if he just doesn't. I don't think he looks right, having watched him a little bit athletically, so I'm not really holding too much of this against him. The rebounds and assists are kind of there, but who knows, we'll see. It's not great, that's for sure. Domantas Sabonis, you guys know I've watched a ton of Domantas Sabonis as a Pacers fan. He has only been playing 28.9 minutes a game. He's played 22 minutes a game in two of his last four games, I believe it was. He was flat out played off the court against Golden State, and then he fouled out against Bam in 22 minutes. So, like, I don't think that's that big of a deal. His minutes are down, so everything across the board is going to be down. RJ Barrett is at 237 for nine cat, 2.2 assists, which has gone way down since Brunson arrived, and then zero steals a game, which he's not a great stocks guy, but zero is not possible for a guy who plays 33 to 35 minutes a game, shooting 22% from three. That's not going to keep going the way that it is. And then 79% from the free throw line, which would actually be a positive. So Barrett has room to grow there. Another guy, last one, I think, Keldon Johnson is blowing up right now, and I do not believe it, because Keldon is getting 1.3 steals a game right now. He's averaged 0.8 for his entire career. We know how volatile steals can be, so maybe he keeps it up. I just have strong, strong, strong doubts that that's the case, and that's going to float his nine cap value, at least. The volume that he's getting as far as shot attempts and offensive creation is pretty ridiculous, and he's handling it really well. But it helps to be shooting 44% from three on nine attempts a game rather than the 5.3 he was taking last year. And then on the other hand of that, he's also only shooting 48% from two rather than 52 is what he's used to doing. So maybe it'll level out. I am just not confident Keldon is going to be able to do what he's doing for much longer. And that is the end of the players that I wanted to talk about. I didn't get to all of them, so I might get a bigger sample size and talk about some more. But if you have some players you want me to talk about, not rookies, I'm doing a specific rookie podcast here shortly, please let me know at @Rhett_Bauer on Twitter. Thank you very much for tuning in. I will see you guys next time.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me, like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh, or curating the best pop playlists you've ever heard in your life, and even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T, period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
L is yep, for the way
that's who you think it is. The Grimace me. Mug. The Hello Kitty keychain, Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. At participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.